This is CounselCast, part of the Legal Talk Network, and I'm your host, Karin Conroy. When you face a complex case outside your expertise, you bring in a co-counsel for next-level results. When you want to engage, expand, and elevate your firm, you bring in a marketing co-counsel. In this podcast, I bring in marketing experts who each answer one big question to help your firm achieve more. Here's today's guest.
My name is Erin, and I'm a brand strategist, a business strategist. Actually, I'm coming from slightly different industry, but there's a reason why I'm here on your podcast. Because when I was writing the book, and I did write the book about all about strategy, like brand, business, communication, I was analyzing many different industries, and over my time in multinationals, I also obviously, you know, had a look at different industries, understand how they operate when it comes to the strategy and brand building. And there's one pattern that I noticed. So actually there are two. So the first one, businesses make exactly the same mistakes. And another thing that I noticed is like, oh dear God, in legal industry branding is so boring. Basically, yes. It's non-existent.
Yeah.
Right? And this is something, and this is the reason I came here, because you know, when I was looking for a job, many times I was applying different industries because I didn't want to be pigeonholed. I didn't want to be typecasted within one industry, because when you do only one thing as a marketer or as a strategist, this is what you get accustomed to. And it's with time, it becomes very difficult to have a broader look at the industry and come up with new solutions.
Yes.
Right? You can kind of become one trick pony.
Yeah.
And this is what I noticed, that industry look for specific industry match. So when you know your industry only, and then this is what you do over 20 years, how come you can bring something fresh and new to what you do?
Yes.
And another thing that I found absolutely fascinating is like, oh, but B2B and B2C brands are different.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to ask, and how exactly are they different?
Right.
Because we all work with humans.
Yes.
So what is the difference coming? You know, where exactly is it coming from? So
yes.
I guess if I could answer your questions, Karin, or dispel a few myths about, you know, how to build a brand legal industry, I'm happy to do it, because I disagree. Passion.
Okay, that is an amazing intro. I love that. It gives us such a great foundation and place to start with all of this conversation. And so today, the topic and the title for the show is How Branding Moves Clients Through the Marketing Funnel. And Erin is a branding expert, and you have a background in consumer product. And that's where I think a lot of people are thinking, well, you know, like you said, that the legal industry is so different. And this is part of my experience too, and why I only work with lawyers and law firms. And there are differences, of course. There's differences amongst law firms. There's differences from one service industry to the other. And it's important to know these things as you're going through the creation of content and all of these things. But at the core of branding and selling a service or a product, whether it's a service or a product, like you said, we are talking to humans, and it's a decision, right? So how do we get people to make that decision in the way we want them to make that decision is what it comes down to, right?
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And our decisions, in many, many cases, they are irrational.
Right.
Well, they are labeled as irrational, but in reality, they're emotions driven, because if you look at the process of beliefs, thoughts, emotions, actions.
Yeah.
Nobody comes from thinking into action. It is not possible.
Yeah.
There's still going to be split of a second emotion in between these two stages. And this is something marketeers often forget. And in legal or law industry, there's no difference, because people still need to make decisions. Again, you're talking to humans, and
right,
you need to understand how they work. You need to understand their psychology before you market your services. And yes, you have many different firms, but it doesn't mean that they have to be cloned as
right,
they are right now.
So an example that I'm picturing when you were describing people don't go from thought to action. And an example, when I think of, for example, a website, is assuming that the first thing someone wants to do is pick up the phone and call you. Before they've even read anything on the website, before they've done anything, the first assumption is action. Before you've had a chance to explain or go through that decision process. So tell me how you can move them through that decision process. It's sort of like the bases that people talk about when you're on a date. You know, you have to go through first base and second base and third base before you eventually get married or whatever. So how do you move people through that decision instead of just assuming, okay, I'm just going to put my phone number up on a website and assume people will call?
Well, first of all, we need to also pay attention to the fact that psychologically all people are different, and you're going to have spontaneous buyers who go and they just need, you know, something. It's an emergency, and then they're going to press. Then you may have different types of buyers that need to do their research. So they will need more information. They need to go and they need time to get persuaded. Then you have emotional buyers. Those who are driven by something that deeper connection, you know, what are you doing to other people? How are you caring? So, and then you have, you know, somebody else. You can segment your audience, or there's a book about it, you know, different four types of buyers. So each of them will have different needs that they would need to satisfy before they make a decision. So the best thing is at least to ensure that you cater to all of these personalities. You have information for those who look for it. You have visual for somebody who is just, you know, would like to get visual impact. You have something emotional about you caring, if you do care. And obviously you do have your phone number and a prompted place for somebody who is immediately, you know, want to press and give you a call. So this is, again, something to bear in mind, that every person is different, unless you know exactly who you target, because you may decide to target a certain segment and they may behave, you know, in a slightly different way. So really depends on your targeting. With regards to your question, Karen, that is actually an interesting question, because when I was writing the book, and again, I had quite a lot of interviews with different brand owners, what I noticed, and that was just absolutely fascinating, everybody's looking at conversions.
Yeah.
Right? And what I wrote in my book, that everybody kind of is busy measuring conversions without asking why conversions don't convert.
Yes. I love that. So what are you suggesting there? So look at what isn't converting?
What I'm suggesting, okay, let's go a little bit step back to conversions. And this is something, again, I noticed, like, people really investing quite a lot in all this Google advertising and measuring and looking how they all come to the website and then the purchase isn't happening.
Right.
So there's actually one interesting thing. There's one hidden step that I called like gray cardinal of the customer funnel that people don't talk about. Sometimes, somehow, all the latest best practices and all marketing gurus going to be talking about awareness, blah, blah, blah. So you know about the product and then you go and do your trial purchase for the first time.
Right.
Not quite like that, because again, if you look at consumer psychology, you know, there are different processes that go in your mind.
Yeah.
And they may take split second. They may not even be conscious, but before you open your wallet to pay for whatever service or to make an action step, you need to consider.
Yes.
That is a really hidden step, because what actually happens? At the awareness stage, you will have both rational and emotional messages working.
Right.
Ideally, it's going to be still image message. Right? Because people at the awareness stage, they don't really have time to get into the message itself and do their research. But when they come to consideration, that is definitely image. And this is definitely emotions, because does it resonate with me? Yep. Do I believe it? Do I want to be part of it? Right? It's all emotional thing. It's not about call to action, call me right now. No, I won't. Right? If you don't give me enough reason to call you, I will look for a different website and give me more reason to do so.
Yeah, right? It's just going to feel strange. It's going to feel bad. And I think that's a fascinating point, because we put together, before we started recording, I mentioned that this whole year, we're really focused on this funnel, because I think it's such a great visual of how to represent your whole marketing plan broadly and talk about it, you know, to lawyers who don't have a marketing background, and just kind of talk through all the different stages and to find gaps. So when I was putting together our marketing funnel that I've been talking about all year, there are lots of different versions of this funnel.
Yeah.
And so like you're saying, there's sometimes there's 8 steps, sometimes there's 5, sometimes, you know, there's all these different numbers. So the one I finally decided on that makes the most sense for lawyers has 6 steps. So you have 2 in the top, middle, and bottom parts of the funnel. And the second, and I think like you're saying, one of the most important parts is my second step is consideration. And so I did not leave that out. And it is such an important part, because that's in their head. That is how that decision gets made. And it is where a lot of people focus on that top of the funnel, the awareness and the consideration and how to get people in the door and how to get that to happen. But I think they spend 90% of their time on that awareness stage and putting all the money into your Google SEO and your pay-per-click and all of that stuff. And getting into their head and the decision process is trickier. And so it's harder to put some time and thought into that unless you have a great strategist and you have someone to help you out with that.
Absolutely. And this is for me the biggest actually problem, because yes, there's a lot of money being put into the drain of getting these acquisition steps. But again, people need to have reason to pay for your service. If it's right, there's no reason, they can come to your website and then they can leave it. So this money is totally wasted. And you need to think about it, because if they come and they see CTA, you know what? I don't know. I don't react on CTA. People got used to it. If somebody tells me what to do, likely I won't do it.
Right.
So what is the point of spending so much on Google AdWords or whatever, you know? I'm not a digital marketeer. I just know that it costs money, but I don't know what people actually do.
Right.
And, you know, there's another thing that I believe why having a brand, like proper brand, is so important, because when you move through the funnel stages, and I believe we're talking pretty much exactly the same funnel, because I also have 6 stages, and we'll see if we have exactly the same.
Yeah.
So when they come to trial is the only stage that works on blossoms, whatever, on rational messages.
Yeah.
It is the only one, right? We all talk about our products, about our special rates, about our discounts, about how fantastic, how many hours we're going to spend. That is all rational. So this going to work only on one stage of your funnel and never else. When after the first trial purchase, when they move to the regular purchase, that is driven by experience. If the experience is good, then they're going to repeat it. And then we'll come to the bottom of the funnel. And that is absolutely fantastic, because here we come loyalty offers.
Yes.
We start bribing people with loyalty, with discounts. We devalue our services because we believe that people going to stay. No, there was a research. People won't stay because loyalty offers are not attractive as much as we think they are. So if you want your customers to stay with you long at loyalty and advocacy stages, it's emotional.
Yes.
Again. Yes. So if you don't have an emotional brand, how you can move your customer through the funnel if 5 out of 6 stages, well, 4 are emotional and 1 is experience? How is it possible?
So let's talk more specifically about that emotional piece. And first, let's go back up to that consideration phase. And what does that look like when people are coming to the website? And because we know plenty of examples of what it looks like when it's missing, when you come to, it doesn't even have to be a website. It could be some other piece of marketing where they're jumping from that awareness to an assumption of the purchase. And they're skipping that emotional piece. And everyone has had that experience where you are interacting with a company or a brand or a product or whatever it is, and you just think, yuck, like that is not right. And I'm going to go find something else. So what does it look like to do that well and to add that element of consideration and speak to that potential client or customer with that level?
Right. I guess you can approach it from different kind of perspectives. So externally, if I'm looking at it as a client, I would be looking for relevance and appeal.
Okay.
So whatever your message is, it has to be relevant to me and it has to appeal to me, right? Which means it is resonate with who I am.
Yep.
Right? That is from my customer perspective. From your perspective as a business, you need to know your customer.
Yeah.
You know, and that is something that I believe in B2B industries or B2B2C or whatever, right? B2C, not FMCG. People don't do because there is assumption that they target everybody. When you target everybody, you can't appeal to everybody. It is not possible. And there is a perception that if I narrow down my focus, I'm not talking niching down. That is a totally different story. But at least if I narrow down my focus, so I build my brand for these specific people because they have this specific emotional need and emotional expectation, it's like I'm going to miss out on the market.
Yeah.
Yes, you may. But you may not, because if you have your business targeting elderly people with their special emotional needs, or you have younger mothers, or you have, I don't know, I'm sorry, victims of domestic, say, misconduct,
yeah,
right, in the nicest possible way. They will all have different needs, but if you position yourself as talking specifically to these people, they will come to you.
Yeah.
And yeah, you, so, and they will refer somebody to you instead of being like everybody else and being totally faceless, unfortunately. Yeah.
Tired of guessing your law firm's marketing budget? The Conroy Creative Council Marketing Budget Calculator is your answer. Custom tailored and data informed, it guides your investment decisions for maximum impact. This tool simplifies budgeting and aligns with your goals so you can harness data for smarter decisions. Make informed, strategic investments. Discover how at ConroyCreativeCouncil.com. Finding it hard to navigate through the clutter of legal marketing options? Marketing CoCounsel is here to cut through the chaos. As your fractional CMO, we streamline and revolutionize your marketing efforts and boost your firm's growth. From digital marketing to traditional outreach, our expertise spans all facets of legal marketing, ensuring that your firm stands out in a competitive landscape. Discover what Marketing CoCounsel can do for your firm at ConroyCreativeCouncil.com.
Well, and that kind of brings us down to the bottom of the funnel too, because the bottom of the funnel, I earlier was going to say that consideration is one of my favorite areas, but I really do think it's the bottom of the funnel, because for most of the firms we work with, this is the area that most people either aren't paying attention to or they don't know how to address it. And so for us, the bottom of the funnel is the post-purchase and repurchase. So for a law firm, obviously that just means after a case or an issue or a working with a client is done, and then trying to get them back into your into working with you again. For some types of legal work, they're not going to become a client again. For divorce lawyers, most likely that's going to be a one-time thing, or criminal defense attorneys. sometimes that does happen, but the majority of the cases are going to be one time. So that repurchase or the, you know, revisiting a client means different things. And a lot of our clients, what that means is referrals. So how can that client either send you more business, or how can you find more business from other kind of referral sources? So you kind of alluded to that a minute ago, where they become, you know, happy with your services and then they refer you more business, and that kind of becomes a part of the psychology of that purchase. So can you talk more about that bottom of the funnel and how that works emotionally?
Yeah, bottom of the funnel, actually, again, it's not about bribing or giving discounts or loyalty schemes. It is about appreciating people for people. It's about building stronger connection. It's about trust.
Yes.
It's about seeing humans behind your clients. So when you treat them as a human being, there's and they are happy with the experience. So they went through repurchase, you know, or if in your case, repurchase is already closer to loyalty, because usually repurchase needs also take place several times before it becomes loyalty,
yeah. Just
in the FMCG. So probably it's different where you are. So when they feel this emotional connection, then they're likely to stay loyal to you because you don't sell them any longer anything. You build relationship.
Yeah.
And loyalty and advocacy are relationship based.
Yeah.
So...
I was thinking of two different examples. One of my favorite is the store Trader Joe's, which I am a advocate for here. And I know you're in the UK, so it's you don't have it there. But part of what I missed the most during the pandemic was visiting my local Trader Joe's. And yes, there were certain products that I missed because Trader Joe's didn't have any kind of delivery service during the early part of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And part of it was the products, but for the most part, I could find them other places. But it was honestly these very surface level relationships with these incredible people that I have come to feel like they're part of my neighborhood and part of my community. And I can ask them obscure questions about some ingredient that I need. And they all have an answer and opinion. And it's not just like going into a generic kind of faceless giant store. It does feel very different. And I feel like I have these relationships. And they're not like, you know, deep relationships where we're even going to kind of have any connection outside of that store. But it is important. And I am loyal to that store because of that.
It's exactly what I was talking about. You know, it's a perfect example of how you have a big supermarket or you have a convenience nearby where you go and people meet you and you develop this relationship. And then if you need to send a parcel or receive a parcel, it goes to this convenience store and then you go and buy some. Yeah, so it is exactly that.
Yeah.
They may have actually similar product ranges, but where would you go? Where you feel more comfortable? Where you feel welcome?
Yeah. Where I have a connection.
And this is exactly what loyalty is. And I guess another thing. Yeah,
I was going to add one other example that I use a lot of the times, but I feel like it's a good visual for a firm that I worked with years and years ago, and they did criminal defense, and they insisted on putting on the main part of their website images of handcuffs and police tape. And I said, you know, this is not what people want to see. This is, you know, showing them the worst moments. It is really negative. And what they want to feel is that you have a solution for that, not that they want to see the handcuffs and they don't want to see all of that. And needless to say, the firm didn't last. they were not around about a year later.
And you are talking exactly about the consideration because they knew about this firm somehow, word of mouth, they found online, doesn't matter. They went to the website. What is the first thing they see?
Right.
What kind of emotions does it create? Do they want to continue to trial purchase?
Yes.
No, they don't.
No.
And that is exactly the stage we're talking about.
Yes, exactly. And they just don't want to feel that way. And I know this is the part that makes it difficult. And when we're talking about branding, you're talking about all these feelings and lawyers typically are pretty analytical and they want to just think, okay, how do I do it? How do I do it? But if you imagine these visuals and think about how they make a person feel, handcuffs is not the answer. It doesn't make anybody feel good.
You know, that is actually a good point because I'm also very analytical and rational.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop me from whatever I'm doing for the brand or for the company to realize that I'm not doing it for myself.
Right.
Right. My opinion doesn't matter. I mean, the best strategy, they won't have any opinion. They will mirror their customers. If you have a marketeer in the company or if you'd like to hire Karen, that is obviously, you know,
the right answer.
Like, you have to be with somebody who understands what I'm talking about. So just walk in your customer's shoes. you know, ask your friends for if there's nothing better, because obviously your friends won't be your customers.
Right.
But scan their emotions first before you decide it's a fantastic idea because it's yours.
Right. Well, I often ask my clients too, okay, this doesn't have to be rocket science. What are the first things they talk to you about? When you pick up a call and it's the first interaction with that client, what do they care about most? And oftentimes, as we're starting some, you know, some strategy for them or whatever it is we're working on, it's not the answer I would have thought. And so you, as that lawyer in the trenches answering the phone, you have the right answer. We, as the marketing people, know how to take that answer and translate it into the strategy and the messaging and the visuals, but you know what they're asking you. And so you need to take that, those things that the questions they're asking you and the feelings they're having and what they care most about. And for almost every client, that's different. And then, you know, lead with that and show that you understand that and you've heard that.
That is the best advice because it is so easy and it's so effective. And to be honest, you don't even need to conduct a research.
No.
What you probably want to do is to create a script, but script that comes from your genuine curiosity about your customer. Know the questions you want to ask if you have somebody picking up the phone, but lead a human conversation. Because when people come to lawyers, they don't come because it's holiday and because they want to have fun.
Right.
You know, they are already often distressed.
Yeah.
So what do they feel? You know, what is stressing them? Because somebody will be afraid. Somebody will be emotionally
angry.
Drained, exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know, but pick the emotion that resonates the most with your offer and inject it into your brand.
Yes.
It's not much you need to do, but, you know, one thing that is absolutely necessary to remember that the brand and branded product or branded service aren't the same. We offer branded services or products with branded names, you know, whatever. I know even famous strategists, they call them logos. You know, even down when they talk about Marriott, because Marriott is a logo, it's not a brand.
Right.
There's nothing behind Marriott that you would describe, right? There's no emotional attachment because it can be Marriott, it can be anything else, right? So, and it's exactly the same in law industry, right? So whatever you call a brand, if it doesn't create any emotional connection with your customers, unfortunately, it isn't a brand.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so it's time for
Karen.
I love you too. It's time for the Thought Leaders Library. Remember, our website has a curated collection of all the top book picks from each of our guests. So what's the book that you believe every lawyer should have on their bookshelf?
You know what? I have two.
Okay, good.
The first one is my brand and business strategy book that is created for smaller firms and small companies. Yes, I'm having FMCG background. Nevertheless, brand building principles are exactly the same and we can argue to death. And I will still prove that they're exactly the same. And
of course,
to having a strategy behind your business. It doesn't really matter what business it is. It has to be strategy because we can't run like headless chickens moving one direction and then another direction, another, because we had another best practice. Now we had another tactics and somebody recommended something else. Let's try. No, it doesn't work. Let's try.
Yeah.
It doesn't work because you're wasting your resources. It's your time resources. It's your human resources. It's your money resources. It's engagement of your team. It's burnout. Everything that you don't like comes from those constant changing directions because let's try something else if this one is not good enough.
Yeah.
Right? So the strategy is mandatory for any business if you would like to have it sustainable. So that's the first book I recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Off my chest. And the second one. And the second one is not because it's about leadership or legal or anything. It's just this book helped me a lot when I was going through challenging times. And it kind of helped me, I guess, stay afloat because, you know, I was going down the drain and wasn't a good time I went through. And the book is called The Art of Happiness.
Yes.
It's by the Dalai Lama. And it's a very easy read.
It is. And I love it.
And somehow, you know, just through reading it, you don't make any efforts. But yeah. Somehow we're just changing your mindset, the way you look at things. It's like Wayne Dyer, he said, right?
Yeah.
So the way you look at, if you change the way you look at things, the things are going to change.
Exactly. Right?
So that is about that. It's very easy. It's not religious. It's more about how to bring joy, peace, and calm into your life.
I think it absolutely ties into everything we're talking about, because branding and this strategy, it does bring ease to all of your marketing. When it's not done well, like you were saying a minute ago, you're all over the place and you're constantly trying different things and throwing things at the wall, and it's just chaos. And when you finally get the strategy right, when I finally changed things about 5 or 6 years ago, and actually it was a little bit more than that. When I first started, I was price-based. And it's not a bad strategy when you're first starting a business to just get off the ground, get a bunch of clients, and, you know, get work in an inflow of work. But that's not a long-term strategy, because it's a race to the bottom. And so I did a transition about 6 or 7 years ago where I went to value-based positioning, and it changed things so dramatically. There was times when I looked around and thought, it seems almost too easy. My day seems almost so like pain-free and logical that I would take a step back sometimes thinking, am I okay? Am I doing this right? Because all of a sudden, everything just falls into place. There's an answer for all the questions, and there's an answer for which things aren't right as well. So without that foundation, it's like building a house without a foundation. It's ridiculous. So it all comes back to that for marketing. And for life in general, to find that core part that is going to drive the rest of your life in general as sustainable and happy, and give you some general thoughts around how to be a human, I feel like this book is a good overlay for both of those concepts.
Yeah, you actually, again, you said a very important thing, because I don't believe people realize that, you know, when they talk about brands, often I see like branding.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't know what branding means. I have no idea what it is. But in reality, brand is strategy.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't have strategy separately, brands, especially if you are like one corporate brand that is you're selling. So your brand strategy is going to be your business strategy. And without brand, you don't have any, because all activities, they actually come from top down and not from bottom up. They come from the destination, from the goal you want to achieve into your present day, and not they try to do something in the hope that somehow it's going to lead you where you want to be, right? So
right.
It doesn't really work. And another thing that you also mentioned that's very important, because differentiation, you have different differentiation principles. And I analyze different, many, and the only sustainable differentiation is on the brand level.
Yes.
All others, product differentiation, customer, you know, value, not price, but it's basically, it's reflected in the price, but it's the process that goes in the company. It's slightly different thing. They all can be beaten by competition, because going to be somebody better, somebody closer to, always something. Any rational advantage stops being advantage when somebody else enters the market, copies you, or have more resources to replicate what you do in a better level.
Yeah.
All the sustainable differentiation you have is your brand.
Yes.
And it's emotional, because otherwise how else you will differentiate?
Right. And to think that people make rational decisions entirely based on logic is just wrong. That's just not the way humans are. The majority of the decision is emotional. And then we use irrational logic. There's been some amazing books that I've read recently. There's one that I love in particular called Predictably Irrational, that talks about how our rational brains do these totally irrational things to make it feel like it's rational, but it's not at all.
Yeah.
We're just justifying a decision that we've already made in our heart, and we've already emotionally decided that. And that, once again, comes back to branding, and you're connecting with that emotion through brand. You can't do that through logic. It just doesn't work.
And there's one thing, again, to add to it. You know Myers-Briggs. the personality assessment.
Yes.
And you do have thinking and feeling people, right? So amongst women, 75% of women are feeling and only 25 are thinking. And for men, I think 46% of men are feeling, if I, you know, I think that's around this number, at least 50%. Right. So if you're really hoping that somebody going to make a logical decision, you probably need to cut your, you know, extrapolate the number and cut your customer base twice.
Right. Exactly. Well, I feel like that was, I loved the point you made back there, but do you have a big takeaway that you would like people to get overall from this overall episode? I mean, we covered a lot of area with the marketing funnel and just the psychology of brands and connection, but what's a big takeaway that you would like people to take away from the episode?
The biggest takeaway, your clients are human beings. They're not robots.
I won't even add anything there because that's good. I'm going to muddy that statement.
So
I think that's so great. Thank you so much for being here. This was such a great conversation. I know there is a lot of light bulb moments for people where they will take away ideas about how to connect better with people and just to consider this whole strategy around branding and the emotions that people go through when making that kind of a decision. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me and having me here. Fantastic. I love talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the CouncilCast podcast. Be sure to visit our website at council-cast.com for the resources mentioned on the episode and to give us your feedback. If you enjoyed this episode, I would appreciate it if you could rate and review the podcast on Apple and subscribe to your favorite podcast platform. See you on the next one.